Latter-day Saint Home Educators is pleased to bring you this audio presentation. Recorded live during the May 2017 Youth Education Conference, held in Williamsburg, Virginia.
I'm Wendy Ashby, and this class is Out of the Best Books. I just thought I'd tell you a little bit more about myself. I was not homeschooled. I went to public school, and I was not brought up LDS. When I was applying for colleges, a good friend of my parents was LDS, and he sent me an application to BYU, and I read the honor code and the standards and thought, there are a lot of people who think like me. This is amazing, and I applied and was accepted. And while I was at BYU, my second year, I joined the church. I got married just before my senior year. And then I graduated with a degree in molecular biology. Then we went to our first place, which was Los Angeles Air Force Base, which is where I had my first son. And when he was 8 months old, school children were walking to school, and I was holding him. And I thought in 5 years, James would be going to kindergarten, and I burst out crying hysterically. Moms are emotional. And I couldn't figure out why I was crying. I kept saying, he has to go to school. It's the right thing to do. And the Lord very clearly told me, no, he was to be homeschooled. And that's how we started homeschooling. James is now 21 at BYU studying chemical engineering after serving in the England-Birmingham mission. Kent is majoring in electrical engineering, and he is out on his mission in the California Los Angeles mission. And we now live in Landenburg, Pennsylvania. So, like I said, I majored in molecular biology. I love science. It's my passion. I love learning things about science. And the more I studied science, the greater my testimony of God grew. And it continues to do so. I just feel like science shows God's love. But as a scientist, what you're going to see is you do lots of research and you present lots of facts. So there's going to be lots and lots of facts in here and lots of quotes to back up what I'm saying. So the title of this presentation is Out of the Best Books. It comes from Doctrine and Covenants 88:118, which reads, "And as all have not faith, seek ye diligently and teach one another words of wisdom. Yea, seek ye out of the best book words of wisdom. Seek learning even by study and also by faith." Okay, so when you read Doctrine and Covenants 88:118, what do you think it means by the best books? So when I used to read that, I always just assumed that it meant the classics, the great books, Aristotle, Plato. But as I was preparing for this class, I decided to do what I do. When I want to learn something new, I went to the scriptures and I went to the words of the prophets, and I started reading, what do they say when they talk about out of the best books? What I found out is that I was actually wrong, thinking it was the classics and the great books. So what are the best books then? If they're not the classics, if they're not the great books, what do the prophets mean when they say that? Ezra Taft Benson said, "The Lord has told us that it is impossible for a man to be saved in ignorance. In another place, God commanded, seek ye out of the best books words of wisdom, seek learning even by study and also by faith. While any study is of value, the truths of salvation are the most important truths any person can learn. The Lord's question for what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul can be applied to educational pursuits as well as the pursuit of worldly goods. The Lord might have asked for what is a man profited if he shall learn everything in the world and learn not how to be saved." John Taylor, our third prophet, said, "And I wish to say further that if you will go before the Lord in all humility and ask for wisdom and intelligence, your prayers will be heard. You are commanded to search after wisdom from the best books and also through faith. And I will promise you that diligent study of our own works will place you in possession of a fund of knowledge that you never dreamed of. And then devote your leisure time to the acquisition of such useful knowledge as can be obtained through the schools and from works on the sciences, but do not be led by their nonsense and skepticism and false theories. And in doing this, seek earnestly for the Spirit of God to aid you to enlighten your mind that you may better comprehend truth and be able to discern error." So that's kind of backwards from what we usually hear. Usually we're told to study all our secular stuff, and then if you have time, to get to religion. But John Taylor tells us that our first priority should be our spiritual knowledge from the scriptures, and then go to seek secular knowledge. Brigham Young said, "The Old and New Testaments, the Book of Mormon, and the Book of the Doctrine and Covenant shall be the standard textbooks and shall be read and their doctrines inculcated in the Brigham Young Academy, and further no book shall be used therein that misrepresents or speaks lightly of the divine mission of our Savior or the Prophet Joseph Smith, or in any manner advances ideas antagonistic to the principles of the gospel." So, the scriptures are what they're talking about when they read the best books. They're talking about making the gospel priority, that should be what we seek for earnestly. Many of you guys have probably heard of Louis Pasteur. He was a scientist. He debunked the theory of spontaneous generation, that things could just come from other things. And I was reading a biography of him once, and he said that every morning he spent an hour in the Old Testament and the New Testament. And he felt that because of that, God blessed him to learn the things that he did. And from that, we got pasteurization, which helped stop the death of millions of people who were dying from foods that were contaminated. And he wasn't ever worldly rich, but he felt like he had been greatly blessed by making the scriptures a priority each day in his life. By making the scriptures a priority, we gain blessings. There's lots of blessings. I'm just going to focus on three of them. There are eternal life, discernment, and the combating of falsehoods. John 5:39 says, "Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." Now, that's an amazing blessing. Who wouldn't want to have eternal life? And that's one of the blessings we gain from making the scriptures a priority. Spencer W. Kimball said, "In your pursuit of truth, remember that while some truths matter more than others, all true principles are a part of the gospel of Jesus Christ. There is no true principle that we need to fear. However, there is a lot in the world that attempts to pass itself off as truth when it is not. A good education will help you distinguish between sense and nonsense. As you also receive real literacy in things spiritual, you'll have added discernment with which to weigh and test ideas and assertions as you make decisions and judgments." So he promises that we'll have the ability to discern truth and error if we take the time to become literate in the gospel and really understand it. And then Ezra Taft Benson said, "The faculty and student body should know the Book of Mormon better than any other book. Not only should we know what history and faith-promoting stories it contains, but we should also understand its teachings. If we really did our homework and approached the Book of Mormon doctrinally, we could expose the errors and find the truths to combat many of the current false theories and philosophies of men, including socialism, humanism, organic evolution, and others. I have noted within the church the difference in discernment and insight and conviction and in spirit between those who know and love the Book of Mormon and those who do not. This book is a great sifter." And this is really true. I've seen this multiple times. People who really love and study the Book of Mormon can combat the falsehoods that the world throws at us. We are here to learn and to become like our Savior, and we can only do that if we know who He is and what He says. And we do that by learning from the scriptures and studying them. But the gospel is the standard. Orson F. Whitney said in a general conference in April 1915, he was an apostle, "We cannot safely substitute anything for the gospel. We have no right to take the theories of men, however scholarly, however learned, and set them up as a standard and try to make the gospel bow down to them, making of them an iron bedstead upon which God's truth, if not long enough, must be stretched out, or if too long, must be chopped off. Anything to make it fit into the system of man's thoughts and theories. On the contrary, we should hold the gospel as the standard of truth and measure thereby the theories and opinions of men." And then Joseph Smiling Smith said, "I will give you a key for your guidance. Any doctrine, whether it comes in the name of religion, science, philosophy, or whatever it may be, that is in conflict with the revelations of the Lord, that have been accepted by the church as coming from the Lord, will fail. And whenever you find any doctrine, any idea, or expression from any source whatsoever that is in conflict with that which the Lord has revealed and which is found in the Holy Scriptures, you may be assured that it is false, and you should put it aside and stand firmly grounded in the truth, in prayer, and in faith, relying upon the Spirit of the Lord, the knowledge for the wisdom concerning these principles of truth. There is no knowledge, no learning that can compensate for the loss of belief in heaven and in the saving principles of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Any education that leads a man from these central truths cannot compensate for his loss of spiritual things." So whenever we study anything, we should take it back to the gospel as our standard and measure that truth by it. And if it doesn't agree with it, then you can know that it's not true. And you can do this with anything. You always start with the scriptures. Always, always. and the words of the prophets. It can be physics, it can be economics, it can be law, it can be history, it can be medicine, it can be politics. Anything, you can start with the scriptures and you can learn what the prophets and the scriptures say about it. And then when you go out and study in the secular fields, you will know what's true and how to discern the truth, because you've been promised that if you do that, he will give you those blessings and you can be guided by the Holy Ghost. My son, Kent, the one who's on his mission right now, was in chemistry and he was learning about matter. And he had some questions like, well, what really is matter and how does that work? But he's very good about making sure he studies his scriptures every day, and he chooses to do that first thing in the morning. And one day while he was pondering on that question, he happened to be reading his scriptures and he found the answers of what matter was in the scriptures. So sometimes people think you can't study science in the scriptures, but it's there, and the Lord can open your mind and give you answers and understand scriptures in ways that you wouldn't have otherwise. So you're supposed to seek learning even by study and also by faith. And the faith is by believing that God can give you those answers and that he has all truth and knowledge, and he can help you, direct you, or just even put ideas and thoughts into your mind or help you understand scriptures in ways that you've never ever done before. As you're studying the scriptures, as you're trying to figure out what to study, Elder Bednar said in Increase in Learning, rather, our individual responsibility is to learn what we should learn, to live as we know we should live, and to become what the Master would have us become. Okay, each of us has a mission in life. And in order to understand that, we can turn to patriarchal blessings, parents, prayer, and to remember that we have many missions in life. We don't just have one mission in life. We have many, many missions that he'll ask us to do. Patriarchal blessings are a great place to start looking for those answers of what your mission is and what the Lord wants you to be studying and how he wants you to be using your time. If you haven't gotten one yet, you probably should be working towards that with the guidance of your parents and the Spirit. Parents are a great resource. They have been given stewardship over you. I know you guys don't like to hear that sometimes. They really can. They're entitled to revelation concerning you. So if you're questioning and wondering what you should be doing with your time, they're a good place to turn to and ask. And when you honor your parents' authority, the Lord will give you even a better chance to do that. I firmly believe that God puts you in the best situation he can to help you return to him, and he wants you to do that. And he's going to give you everything possible to make that happen. Elder Bednar said about prayer, to become and remain spiritually firm, steadfast, and immovable in the world that does now and will yet exist, we should exercise our moral agency in accordance with true principles and seek learning by patiently persisting, asking, seeking, and knocking. And then in Matthew 7:8, we read, for everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, to him that knocketh it shall be open. Prayer brings us into the presence of deity. It brings us in direct communication with our Heavenly Father. He wants to have that with you. So we need to take time to do that, but we also need to take time to listen. And if we do, he will help you find those answers. We need quiet time from the noise that's of the world around us, especially right now in your lives. Your most important stewardship as a young adult is yourself and figuring out who you are, where you came from, and what the Lord wants you to do with your life. This is an amazing time where you don't have things like spouses and children and bills and house payments to worry about. And so it's a time to not be selfish, but to be introspective. And to just to ask Lord those questions so that he can make so much more of our lives than we can. And he wants to do that. And he just needs you to ask. In 1 Nephi, remember Lehi had the vision of the tree of life. And Nephi comes upon his brothers and sisters and siblings and people. They're all going out of there. And they're talking about what Lehi said. And they can't figure it out. And Nephi says, have you inquired of the Lord? And they're like, no, he hasn't made anything known to us. And Nephi tells them, do you not remember the things which the Lord hath said? If you will not harden your hearts and ask me in faith, believing that you shall receive with diligence and in keeping my commandments, surely these things shall be made known unto you. Okay, you have to ask. The Lord just doesn't beam knowledge into your brain. Okay? Be specific. He really can't just tell you things outright without you asking. because that would be a violation of your agency. You have to ask, and he cannot violate agency because then he would not be God. The Doctrine and Covenants that we love so much that has so much information comes because Joseph Smith was asking questions. He would ask a question, and the Lord would give him amazing revelations. And because of that, we have the Doctrine and Covenants, and we have so much more knowledge. And sometimes I want to say, oh, could he have asked a few more questions? You know, because there's so much to know. So this is a great age to have a prayer journal in which you write down the questions that you have and then the answers that you receive. It'll become kind of like your own golden plates, your own Doctrine and Covenants that you can turn back to when you want to remember the great blessings God has given you by answering those prayers. This is an amazing blessing that Nephi tells us about. He says, actually this is Jacob, but it's in Nephi. He says, "And now, my beloved brethren, I perceive that you ponder still in your hearts, and it grieveth me that I must speak concerning the same. For if you would hearken unto the Spirit, which teacheth a man to pray, you would know that you must pray, for the evil spirit teacheth a man not to pray. But behold, I say unto you that you must pray always and not faint, that you must not perform anything unto the Lord, save in the first place you shall pray unto the Father in the name of Christ, that he will consecrate thy performance unto thee, that thy performance may be for the welfare of thy soul." He's saying that when you're going to go and do stuff, pray and make sure that's what the Lord wants you to, and talk to him about what you want to do. Elder Bednar says you should start the morning in prayer, discussing with the Lord what you plan to do, and you should come back in the evening, you should return a report. And when you do that in the morning, and you do those things, and you've confirmed it with the Lord, then he will consecrate the things that you do for your eternal welfare. And that's just a beautiful promise that I think a lot of us don't take advantage of. As you're figuring out your mission, as you're figuring out what you're doing with your life, there are some things that we've been told that are our missions for everybody. We're all supposed to be member missionaries, whether we serve missions or not. This is a great age to be working on Preach My Gospel and being a good example. Family history. We've been told we're supposed to be searching out our ancestors and working on that. And do that with, you know, probably with the conjunction of a parent. We're all supposed to be educated. They said that. We're supposed to make time to be learning and understanding our world. We've been told to be good citizens. And to do that, you need to understand our founding documents, our system of government, our system of economics, and why they are the way they are. Okay, we're all supposed to know that if we're gonna vote and we're going to discuss things and going to lead, you know, work on our country, we need to understand those things. And Joseph Smith said that we as a people were supposed to save the Constitution. And so you can't do that if you don't know what it says. It's hard to understand and save something that you don't know anything about. That is some of those. But there's other missions we all have in common, but those are just a few of them that I wanted to mention. Each of you has a unique mission that you are sent here for. You truly do. And your mission is not going to be the same as someone else's mission. If your job is to be the ambassador to Russia, and the person next to you's job is to be a mechanic, you would not spend time studying cars, would you? No, you would be studying Russian and Russian history and things like that. So that's why we each need to take the time to know what those are. And then we have little missions in life. Sometimes we're called to be primary workers, and sometimes we're called to be Relief Society presidents or bishops or stake presidents, or to be doctors or lawyers. Those are missions that the Lord is asking for this life to help us become like him. But we all have eternal missions. Father, mother, husband, wife, daughter of God, son of God. And those missions will last all of eternity. So they are of eternal significance, and we need to prepare ourselves for them because God gives us experiences so that we can become like our Savior and return home to him. Any of you were ever in school, you probably heard of something called an IEP, an Individualized Education Plan. We all have one, okay? If you've read A Wrinkle in Time, you remember when they go to the planet of It, and they're all in the same house, bouncing the same ball, and there's always a boy and a girl, and they're wearing the same thing, okay? We did not do that. Anybody have the exact identical family of the person sitting next to you? No, because God knows you. So he's given us each a plan, and he needs us to engage in that plan, because we are his hands and his feet. Satan is going to lie to you. He is going to tell you you're not special, you're not good enough, that God doesn't need you, or you're not worthy. Those are all lies. Don't listen. If you're hearing those thoughts, Those are lies. They are from Satan. You tell him to leave you alone. God needs each and every one of us. And don't think there's anything that you've done that can't be repented of and fixed. That's another lie he's going to tell you. That there's just no way, you've done so many bad things, or this, that, and the other, and it is not true. Okay? When you hear those types of thoughts in your head, you just need to get rid of them. God loves you, and he has something special for each of you to do, and you are needed to build his kingdom. Well, as that being said, we have the scriptures are the best books, but we also have personal best books that are needed for us to fulfill our mission. So part of what we need to do and to do all these things is to figure out what our own personal best books are. It can be books. It can be film. It can be poetry. It's anything that inspires you and helps you to be the best you that you are. It's anything that helps inspire you to come closer to your Heavenly Father. If it brings a good spirit, if it makes you want to be with him, to return to him, to do those things, then those are your best books. And you should focus on that. Things that you're passionate about that make you feel good, Heavenly Father's given you those things to help you know. They're hints about what you should be doing with your life. So, and the other things your best books will be based on is your mission, and you should be planning your education around those kinds of things. I said that a little before, but if you have a mission to do a certain thing, you should be working towards those types of books and studying in that area. Doctrine and Covenants 88:78-79 says, "Teach ye diligently, and my grace shall attend you, that you may be instructed more perfectly in theory, in principle, in doctrine, in the law of the gospel, in all things that pertain unto the kingdom of God that are expedient for you to understand, of things both in heaven and in earth and under the earth, things which have been, things which are, things which must shortly come to pass, things which are at home, things which are abroad, the wars and perplexities of the nations, and the judgments which are on the land, and the knowledge also of countries and kingdoms." We're supposed to study anything that pertains to the kingdom of God. That's most everything. Things in heaven, well, that's astronomy. Earth, we got geography, geology, mineralogy, plants, animals, things which have been, there's history, there's literature, which are to come, we've got political science. So there's nothing in this list that says you can't study what you need to study. It's right there. You're supposed to pray to know what to do, pray to know what to study, and pray to know how to use your time well each day. The Lord will direct you if you ask and tell you what you need to study. And he will bless you if you do that. My oldest son, he wanted to take the ACT again. He got in a 28 the first time, he wanted to take it again. And every time he went to sit down to study for the ACT, he would pray. And every time the Lord would say, "No, I need you to do something else." Every time. He never studied for that ACT, and it just about drove me crazy. Because, you know, moms, we get panicked, right? And we're like, "You need to be studying for the ACT." I'm just like, he's like, "The Lord keeps telling me to do different things." And I'm like, okay. And I trusted him that he could hear what the Lord wanted him to do. And he took it that second time without studying even 1 minute for it. And he jumped from a 28 to a 30. The Lord blessed him. The Lord blessed him to know what he needed to do on that test because he did the things. Now, that doesn't mean you shouldn't study for the ACT. The Lord may want you to study for the ACT. He has different plans for each of us, so I'm not giving you permission to not study. But for him, because he listened, the Lord was able to give him those blessings. Okay, Brigham Young says, "I cannot say that I would recommend the reading of all books, for it is not all books which are good. Read good books and extract from them wisdom and understanding as much as you possibly can, aided by the Holy Ghost." Holy Ghost, I love the Holy Ghost. He can teach you the truth of all things, not religious things, all things. Well, not just religious things. Anything you're studying, he can help you discern truth from error. When you start studying, you should pray. Pray for the Spirit to be with you. I do this when I study. I pray that the Spirit will be with me, that it'll help me be able to discern truth from error. And he does it every time. I'm going to tell you a story of Brother Jared really quick. You guys remember when he was building the barges? He's building those barges. And he's like, "Lord, we're going to suffocate if we in those barges, and there's no light." And the Lord goes, "Okay, drill, cut out a hole in the bottom, cut out a hole in the top." And so that's what he did, right? But then Brother Jared's like, and we still need light. And the Lord goes, yeah, can you figure that one out? Sometimes the Lord does that when you're studying. You'll be reading along. You'll be like, I wonder about this. And he'll be like, ah, here, let me tell you. And sometimes he'll be like, yeah, you need to go study that some more. Get back to me. You need to go figure that one out yourself. Because he wants us to become like him. And that means learning and thinking for ourselves and then going back and discussing it with him later. I'll tell you, more often than not, he makes you go figure it out yourself. But I get that all the time. He's like, yeah, did you get excited about that? Go figure it out. Go learn more. He's always telling me to go learn more. And and I've learned so much because of that. You guys have probably had your parents say that. And you're like, Mom, Dad, I need help. Figure it out. You can do it. And it shows he has faith and trust in you. When he asks you to figure it out yourself, it means that he believes you can do it. He believes in you. And if you need a little help here and there, he can kind of nudge you along if you ask for it. The Holy Ghost can confirm truth and confirm error. And I think that's a great blessing in our kind of crazy world that we have out there right now. This was Joseph F. Smith. He said this in 1903. He said, read good books, learn to sing and to recite, and to converse upon subjects that will be of interest to your associates and at your social gatherings, instead of wasting the time in senseless practices that lead you only to mischief and sometimes to serious evil and wrongdoing. Instead of doing this, seek out the best books, knowledge, and understanding. Read history, read philosophy if you wish. Read anything that is good that will elevate the mind, and you will add to your stock of knowledge that those who you associate with may feel an interest in your pursuit of knowledge and of wisdom. Don't be idle, is what he's saying. That doesn't mean you can't have times where you enjoy yourself, but he's really talking about use your time really well. You only have this time once in your life. Use it well. Read things of worth and value. And he points out that as an added bonus, if you do this, you won't be boring. You ever met that person who's really boring that keeps talking about that same boring thing all the time? You won't be that person. You have all sorts of things you can talk about. President Hinckley said, none of us knows enough. The learning process is an endless process. We must read, we must observe, we must assimilate, and we must ponder that which we expose our minds. You cannot afford to stop. You must not rest in your development. There is so much to learn and so little time in which to learn it. There's so much to learn. And the more you learn, the more you know you don't know, and the more you need to learn. It's just this kind of endless process. We can't learn it all in our lifetimes, but we can take it with us. And that's why we each have different missions, right? Because we can't all learn everything. So he assigns each of us to learn different things so we can serve each other and we can help build that kingdom for him. It's amazing. And then someday we'll get to know lots more. But if you love to learn in this life, you're going to love to learn in the next one. If you hate learning down here, you aren't going to like it up there. Not everything has to be learned out of books, though. There are other ways to learn, and that's good, too. Figure out how you like to learn and how you go about doing that. And the Lord will help you, and he will bless you. This says celestial versus telestial. If you want to live in the celestial kingdom, you need to be striving to live a celestial law. Read Doctrine and Covenants 76. It talks about the difference between them. What is telestial? What is terrestrial? What is celestial? Some of you probably heard the idea of worldviews. They're different worldviews. They're secular humanism, cosmic humanism, postmodernism, Islam, Buddhism, Christianity. We have the different worldviews, and that's how we see the world, right? In Doctrine and Covenants 76, we learn there are only three worldviews. There's telestial, terrestrial, and celestial. Everything can be grouped into there. If you are a telestial being, you only care about your body. It's all about me. You want your appetites filled and your desires filled. If you're terrestrial, it's about cultivating the mind. You want to be enlightened. You want to help those around you. But if you don't do it right, it ends up in pride and arrogance. But a celestial being does everything for the glory of God, and it helps them become like their Savior. We develop self-mastery over our bodies that we don't become enslaved to our appetites. That's what celestial beings do. But we still need to take care of our bodies. There's that balance. You got to take care of your body, but you don't want to be a slave to your body. We need to be educated and cultivate our minds, but we need to do that in meekness and humility before God. And our goal is to develop celestial knowledge. So how do we do that? So up there, there would be this great slide that shows you math. So celestial math is about memorizing, following the steps, and plug and chug. And you do need to know how to do that. You need to know how to use the equation and how to get answers to things. Terrestrial math helps you think logically. It's the language of science, and it helps you understand mathematical concepts. That's a really good thing to do, and it's a good thing to know. Celestial math helps you see the order in God's universe. That's what math does. You study math, it helps you see the order in God's universe, and it shows you there are different ways to apply the same principle. As you study math, you'll learn that there are different ways to get to the same answer. And kind of how that works would be like, we've all been told we should read our scriptures every day. I don't think anybody's ever heard that we shouldn't do that. But do they ever tell you that you will read every day from 7:30 to 8? You will accomplish this many verses, and then you will write for 10 minutes about what you learned, and you will all learn the exact same thing. No, there's different ways to do scripture study that work for you and at different times in your life. And math helps us see that there are different ways to apply correct principles. And there's usually no one correct way to do that. I'm not going to go through this one, but it's all about the difference in the young women's values on terrestrial, telestial, and celestial. And it's from, this is from a guy named Neil J. Flinders, and the other one was from Michelle Stone. I didn't think of those on my own. I'm not that smart. Apply this to anything, history, literature, psychology, science, economics. You can see the telestial, terrestrial, and celestial. And we want to be striving for that celestial knowledge. And it's really fun to do, actually. You always need to remember your ultimate destination. And you need to ask yourself, does this book, does this music, does this activity help me to get there? And if it does, keep doing it. If it doesn't, you should probably not worth your time. All things are spiritual to Heavenly Father. How you use your time is really important. And pray. Okay, I really believe strongly in prayer. Pray at how to use your time. Spencer W. Kimball said, secular knowledge has eternal significance. We believe and encourage education, but not for education's sake alone. We educate ourselves in the secular field and in the spiritual field so we may one day create worlds, people, and govern them. That's an absolutely amazing, amazing blessing that we can have if we use our time really well. Now that you got all this knowledge, what do you do with it? President Lorenzo Snow said, in pursuing any kind of study, a man must continue to work, and after going through one course, he has to go through again and keep at that work in order to make himself master of them, and he will never master them so well as by communicating his information while engaged in gaining it. Let him go to work and gather up his friends and endeavor to give them the same knowledge that he has received, and he then begins to find himself being enlightened upon those things which he never would have known unless by pursuing that course of teaching and imparting the information he is in possession of unto others. You need to share what you know. You can write an essay, you can make a video, you can make a presentation, you can write a book, a poem, you can build something, you can start something, you can teach a class. But you need to pass that on so that it helps build God's kingdom. Once again, pray. Pray to know what to do with all this knowledge you're using. Gather your friends and teach them. Make a little club if you want and share with each other what you've learned. C.S. Lewis did that with Tolkien and Roger Lanson Green. They had this little club and they would come together and read to each other and talk about all the things that they'd learned. But when we do it, we need to do it so we're honoring and glorifying God. Some of my favorite movies are Facing the Giants, Courageous, and War Room. And they're by two brothers called the Kendrick Brothers. They're not LDS, but they make movies that are amazing, and they glorify God, and they're fun movies. They leave you feeling good, and they inspire you to want to have a relationship with God. And that's what we should be doing. If you like to draw, if you love drawing, draw to the glory of God, and he will make pictures that will help you to inspire others to want to be closer to God. That is what it's about. That is doing things on a celestial level. My daughter dances. I didn't mention that earlier, but she dances and dances and dances. And in Colorado, where we used to live, she only danced in Christian dance ministries. And they were not LDS-based either, but they were good Christians. And when they danced to worship God, and the spirit was so strong and so incredible, and it left you there wanting to be a better person. That's what we need to do with our knowledge. It should be used to help others want to do better with their lives. Heber G. Grant said, "Faith and knowledge without practice are of no value. All the knowledge in the world would not amount to anything unless we put that knowledge into actual practice. We are the architects and builders of our lives, and if we fail to put our knowledge into actual practice and do the duties that devolve upon us, we are making a failure of our life." We just have to use it. We have to help others with it. That's why he wants us to learn, so we can serve and become like him. Christ didn't keep his knowledge to himself, did he? He gave it to others, and that's what he's asking us to do. Like I said, I joined the church when I was 19, when I was attending BYU. It was the best decision I've ever made in my entire life. I love the gospel of Jesus Christ, and I love homeschooling, and I love taking everything back to the scriptures. It's just incredible. I just want you to know that I know the gospel's true, and I know Jesus Christ is our Savior, and I know Joseph Smith was a true prophet of God, and I just want to leave that with you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
Latter-day Saint Home Educators is a nonprofit, all-volunteer organization dedicated to providing inspiration to homeschool families. We hope you enjoyed this recording. If you are interested in listening to more recordings or would like to participate in a future conference, please visit our website at ldshe.org.